Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Behold, your King is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. Zechariah the prophet spoke those words long before Christ fulfilled them on Palm Sunday. And on that Sunday, he came as though he had come all those years of his earthly life in grace, in patience, coming into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world, with his face set toward Jerusalem to earn the world's salvation. The King came. He came to save. Later that week, of course, the humble king suffered and died at the hands of those who loved to kill the prophets who had come before him, who loved to reject the word of the Lord that came by those same prophets. That when they crucified Jesus, they rejected the word, and yet, strangely, they also fulfilled the word. For Jesus had spoken of how he would die in accordance with what the prophets had spoken of, and in accord with what he himself had said about the Son of Man. St. John, he sums it up this way by saying, he came to his own people and they did not receive him. This was the great shame of that week, that the Lord had come in the flesh. He had come to seek and save the lost. He had come to his own and his own rejected him. That unbelief in the Lord's word is a great evil, and may God spare you all from it. Behold, your King is coming to you, humble and hidden under the forms of words, of water, and of bread, and of wine. That Christ himself taught this, and his apostles after him also taught it, and countless other faithful preachers since. That the King comes now. Then it's still in his grace and in his mercy that the King comes to forgive sins. That salvation has been complete, blood shed, sin atoned for, and death vanquished. And Christ comes now, in this time, at this place, to bring his favor to you, hidden away under these common things, like words, water, and food. These common things that have been made sacred by the promise of his word. And this day, many, those who would be able to be around God's word, many reject his word. And many, in various ways, they do this great evil of rejecting the word of God. Some, of course, want a different kind of Jesus than the Jesus that is promised to be found under the word, or in holy baptism, or in the Lord's Supper. They do not believe what Jesus said about these things, just like those who heard him speaking in the flesh did not want to hear what he had to say. Some, of course, probably more and more common in our world today, some do not see a need for Jesus, do not see a need for a king or a savior. They go on in this life not knowing that this life is, of course, going to be all they have and that the reward is what they're receiving now from the only God, and that what comes after is no reward at all. Now you can think of those other people, certainly, but how in this season of Advent, a penitential season, how does your life reflect this rejection of how Christ comes today? First and foremost, the place and the priority of attending to divine service. It ought to outweigh every other aspect of this life. That there is no job, no family situation, no sports event, nothing that is more important than when Christ comes to us in his word and in his sacrament. Nothing. Can you imagine someone who would have been able in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, a believer in Jesus, that Palm Sunday, the Sunday when Jesus was coming into that city in the same way that the Word of God through Zechariah had said he was going to come? Can you imagine one of those believers not going there to lay the cloak down or to lay the palm branches down or to sing in front or behind the procession? Can you imagine that? A believer then not wanting to receive him and respond to his presence with those prayers and praises of Hosanna, or blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. On that day, what would have been more important than that? Those believers who saw Christ come to save them made their faith known in their prayers and in their praises of Christ. So also those who come to divine service, hear the word of God, receive Christ's own body and blood, made so by his own word, and they respond with prayers and praises like the hymns we sing. Your King comes. St. Paul, in writing Romans, knew this. He wrote those words to the Romans with this in mind. That the day is closer now, he said, that salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. That Jesus' return was close. How much closer is it now, some 2,000 years later? And he uses this, then, Paul does, to teach how our sins and how our sinful living can become a distraction from our receiving how Christ comes. He tells the Christians to put off the works of darkness, to not walk in the darkness, but in the light of the day. Yes, he condemns the lewd and the crude and the perverse stuff, stuff we know is wrong, but sadly those things which are too commonly done amongst those who bear Christ's name. But then Paul moves on to two other sins, quarreling and jealousy, somewhat cleaner, at least in our minds, but just as evil in the eyes of the Lord our God who is coming. Think, of course, on this, St. Paul's words about quarreling and jealousy, the next time your neighbor is giving something that you really wanted, or someone around you is blessed with some extra honor or recognition that you wanted more for yourself. Think of that jealousy when you become discontent with the things in your life. That jealousy, that covetousness, that discontent, St. Paul names it well. He says that's the flesh. Similarly, next time you want to quarrel with your neighbor, whether it's in your home or in this congregation or in the community around us, you might want to check yourself to see if your flesh is fueling that fiery anger. The chances are the anger is actually far from being righteous and far more fleshly than you would want to admit. St. Paul then tells the Christians and you today, he tells you the remedy for this, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to deny the flesh, making no provision for it. Make no opportunity for the flesh to act in this way. That the flesh wants things that put Christ far away from you. The flesh wants things that in the end allow you to reject Jesus. The flesh wants those things that distract you from Christ who comes to you. That you deny the flesh is what the word of our holy God says. And it says, do so by putting on Christ, and you put on Christ when you faithfully receive how Christ comes to you, times like today. All of this talk, St. Paul says, is walking in the day. That there is one more thing that even if you are walking in the day, so to speak, and avoiding these opportunities for the flesh, that you will need to guard against, something that the flesh will do to you. It will seek to use your walking in the day. It will seek to use your denial of these crass and more coarse sins. It will seek to use your practice of godliness. It will seek to use your denial of the sinful temptations. The flesh will seek to use all of those things to try to convince you of how much you deserve good things from God because of all that godliness. That you are your own righteousness. This is one very deadly way in which the flesh, the sinful nature, will twist good and godly things into destructive evils, and against it you should be on guard. Against this, the prophet Jeremiah speaks properly of the righteous branch of David's house, David's line called Jesus. That this is why the crowds, when Jesus approached, they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" That Jeremiah had called him, "The Lord is our righteousness." That Zechariah did this as well. He spoke of this humble king coming as one who was righteous and having salvation is he. That no, it's not going to be your righteousness, your godliness, but the righteousness of Christ alone is our saving righteousness. It's not godliness. But when the righteousness of Christ comes to you, and you are indeed accounted as righteous before God by believing in Christ, it will produce godliness. Remember, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. For faith receives from Christ. Faith receives Christ Himself, who is our righteousness. Christ, who is our salvation. And from that faith, good works, godly actions, putting away the flesh, putting on Christ, they are bound to shoot forth and go onward into the homes that we live in, the congregation we belong to, and to the community around us. That none of those works will, however, provide salvation. No, only the humble king who comes, righteous in himself and having salvation by the bloody work of his cross, only he comes with salvation. And that salvation is his gift. When he comes by his grace and his mercy at times like today in things like divine service. Which sole purpose, which sole reason for existing this divine service is to provide you with the Word of God and the sacrament of the altar. That your King comes. Yes, he will come again this week and next Sunday as well in his grace and his mercy, that is, if he hasn't returned before then. He will come and offer those very things which bring us his righteousness, things which feed our faith, things which fuel the good works that he has laid out before us in our own walk. That these things will fuel then your praise and your spiritual worship of God in your day-to-day life, Mondays through Saturdays, as a baptized child of God. That the fuel for all of that godliness comes from his word here. So do you see how silly it is to think that there's anything more important than this? Not just silly, but sinful. Advent, as I said, is a penitential season. It's a season where we remember the coming of our Lord. Back then, right now, soon, on the end, Christ comes. For the believing, those who kept Christ as their righteousness by believing in him and cared for that faith in him by attending to the way he comes now, his gracious visitation, that day of his coming is a good day. It's a day of eternal blessing. As heaven will be opened to our bodies and our souls together after the resurrection unto life. Opened by the way of Christ's work alone. But that day, for those who rejected Christ's coming now, in his gracious visitation, will be a day of great lamentation. For the free gift will be known by them as something they rejected over and over again. And in their despair, they will be ushered into eternal judgment, never again having a chance to hear of the gracious visitation of their Lord, never again having the opportunity to behold the righteous King who came with the very salvation they needed and yet rejected. That when your flesh tempts you to be like them, may the warning of the coming punishment help you to deny your flesh, to mortify your flesh, to put it away. And instead, may the words of Christ's promise, His gracious promise, His words of forgiveness, may they come to your mind to faithfully put on Christ, the righteous branch, the King who comes to save. Your King comes today. Righteous and having salvation is He. That their cries of Hosanna, "Save us, Lord," they are answered with the word of the cross, the word of Christ crucified. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, for Christ comes today in the name of the Lord. Let your faith feed on His word. That faith is strengthened in your communing on His body and His blood, and that love for others that God has worked through you, that love for others in your home, in this congregation, and this community, let that love grow by way of the gracious visitation of our Lord that happens in this sanctuary. There is a reason that we sing those Palm Sunday words of the believers right before we receive the Lord's Supper. And today He comes again. And He is bringing righteousness to this place and for your sake. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.